Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Yeah, give us some bullets, give us some ammo. Joe's in trouble today. He needs something to help him get on his Wi-Fi network.
Where's that clip? I don't know. Why is this being so tough with me here?
Locked and loaded. Joe D., Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show and internet access site today we're having a little trouble with.
Here yeah, on... so nobody sent me no internet stuff over there for a little bit, okay?
Yeah, we are...
get back online, Ed, because, you know...
We're trying to make it happen. Anyway.
This is why I have children.
Get in touch with us today. Give us a buzz at the studio line, 516-572-7440. Follow us on our website, motormouthradio.com. Same thing on Facebook and Twitter. And on Instagram, Joe's favorite, which is?
Real_motormouthradio.
Right. We've been a little quiet lately because we've been...
Yeah.
Busy in other directions.
Yeah, I only threw like one or two things with the meltdown, the maximum meltdown.
That is correct.
But other than that, yeah, it's really hard to like get under a dashboard, hold the phone in your teeth, and try to figure out and read a wiring diagram. And
yes, absolutely.
You know, I won't even tell you how you work the power probe.
Oh, geez. Yeah, we don't want to know about that. And I have a flame, an internet flame coming up because I am going to, I had changed the thermostat in my wife's Chevy Cruze a little while ago.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Took the...
That was a conversation, wasn't it?
I guess it was the OEM, probably the original one. And when I took apart, the car basically threw a check engine light, and then it was giving me some... The temperature gauge was acting like a tachometer. It would be where it should be, below half. Then it would swing up, come down. It would go all the way to hot. I'd get messages on the heads-up... Not the heads-up display, the whatever Chevy calls it, diagnostic link.
The naggy thing.
Yeah.
Where it nags you.
Temperature too high, shutting off AC, then it would go into limp mode, shut the car down, blah, blah, blah. That led me to change, doing some
Manscaped pods, yeah. Oh.
Yes, and of course, Joe, you were in on that, helped me out. We determined that the thermostat was most likely bad, and I put in a part from a major manufacturer.
Aftermarket manufacturer?
And yes. 2 weeks, it was fine. Now, all of a sudden, it started recurring. Check engine light on, same things that happened previously.
Mm.
And back through the diagnostic curve again, and there was other possibilities, but... You and I had done some temperature probing and seen the head temperature, and then the thermostat temperature was less, and the hose outside of that was considerably less, and my diagnostic was, this thermostat ain't opening.
Right.
So by good old seat of the pants, you concurred.
Yep.
Because I always like to get a backup to my diagnoses.
Use the force, Ray.
Yes, and I did. I did. And I know you had the robe on with the hood, too, because I could tell. So I went out, and on your recommendation, which
very itchy.
Went to a local dealership and bought an OEM Delco part.
Mm.
Put that in. Problem solved.
Yep.
Done.
End of discussion.
So watch Instagram and Twitter and our website soon, because I do have the pictures. I do plan on putting that up at my little rant about why this aftermarket stuff was... we've had problems with other stuff from this company. So, it's just... It's not cool. Not cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard, you know, working for an aftermarket company myself. I mean, you try your best, whatever, and sometimes it gets in under the wire. Maybe it's a design thing, you know, but usually the stuff from the factory, especially if the car is still in production. Once the car is out of production, though, what the car companies do is they start buying from the same aftermarket companies and they rebox.
Oh, okay.
Okay, right. And like, for example, a certain car company who's very big with the that guy out in Oregon over there, and
Mark,
that car company now sells parts in from the company that you just dealt with.
Okay,
in the box it says Mopar.
Yeah. Right.
The whole Magoa. So
that's why I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a great topic. And I thought of you immediately, because you're on that customer service side. You get the flames from people.
God.
Like me, in this case. I may have done that, because I want to know, hey, what is... This is a brand new part.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever worked. N-E-W.
Yeah. Yep.
Check the Motor Mouth Radio Decoder on the website to find out the rest of the story on that one.
Yeah.
And, now I had to do that repair twice. Luckily, nobody got stuck. There were no tow bills involved, but there could have been.
Yep.
And it could have been, luckily, it could have been that not the hubby in the household was able to do the repair. That might have had to go back to a shop.
To a shop and, double money and the whole nine yards,
They'll cover the part, but not the labor.
Right.
I mean, first time I did it, with any job, the first time you do it's a little longer. I think the second time I did it, it was certainly under an hour. I think it was maybe from tip to toe, it was maybe a 35, 40-minute ordeal to change that part.
Right. There's that stupid fakakta clip in the air duct.
But now the squeezy clip comes off easy because it's been off a couple times, and that other clip, now it came off again. And now I got to talk to Matco Man Brian, because I used my e-torque sockets that I bought from him, and they're short. But I thought,
again with the short.
I know. Well, the sockets are. I thought, what would be good here? Like quarter-inch drive deeps. So they're narrower to get into those little recesses, and I want to see
protuberances.
So
over
now I got to spend more money on tools.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? That reminds me. I got to see if they got a petcock socket. I can't find mine because I got this some cool ones. Because I'm a big
I have one of those.
It's like a quarter inch drive socket. It's got
3/8, and it's just a cutout, a window.
Yeah, right. But it's got the cutout for the regular old ones on the one side, and it's got the little thin one for the modern ones.
Oh no,
on the
mine
other
only
side.
Has the one. Mine's an old one. I bought it.
Yeah,
back.
Mine's. Mine's God knows where.
If you find that somewhere,
yes,
get two.
Cool.
And I'll go in for one myself.
Hell yeah. No, absolutely. Those things are great. You know what I mean? Because otherwise you're over there with pliers, you're over there with your teeth.
Yeah.
It's just ugly. Like, some of us can't go, and get it out with your fingers.
Speaking of that, I know that when I did this thermostat the first time, I had the car at the shop on the lift. And I was like, where's the petcock on the radiator? I had to take two separate belly pans off.
Right.
To find it. And now at home, I said, okay, now I know where
you're
it is.
You're a civilian. You shouldn't be touching that.
I know. Let me see if I can find it from the top. And I couldn't get at it.
Right.
I couldn't get it. And I said, Rrr. And I didn't want to lift the, going through this at home on the driveway was a little different than being on the lift.
Yes.
So I pulled the hose and I was careful. I put my bucket, but I made like the Exxon Valdez of antifreeze on the driveway.
Yes.
And just hosed it off really good into the neighbor's weeds. So basically the animals
so they're getting fertilized now. Yep.
Okay. Well, hopefully they'll die.
Yeah.
So
well, you never know with the orange stuff.
That
is the orange stuff.
Yes,
in that
that's
car,
isn't
that's
it? Cool. Yeah. Yes. Mm.
No, they figure that the especially like certain items like antifreeze, you're not going to touch theoretically for 5 years.
Right. You or 100,000 miles if you're GM.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So you don't have to touch that stupid thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Posterior exactly. There.
Yeah, I know. So that repair is done again. We've been using the car. It's all safe and sound, and thankfully that's done. And in the same time, I had pulled the radiator out of my Fiat. I did that last week because it started leaking. And it had
a Fiat that leaks? Oh, that never happens.
Well, if you go back to the annals of Motor Mouth Radio, or anals, if you will, I'd always said to Chris, I said, that car, if I don't smell antifreeze, oil, and gas, I know I'm out of the one I don't smell.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, so somebody I know that used to do a lot of European cars, he goes, you know what the Fiat scan tool is? I go, what? He goes, a bag of Speedy Dry and a pair of ice grips.
Nice. Right. Well, what happened was, for years now, I was under the impression, I thought I needed a head gasket in that car. Because I was losing coolant. Mm-hmm. Slowly.
Right.
And I have the gasket. I've had it for like 5 years. Just too lazy to do the job. Well, I took the radiator out, and I had a, I was looking online. I found one. I actually found a very good price of like $159 for
a brand new
radiator. Right. But I said, you know what? Let me check. Here we go. Car guy hoarder story. I told my wife, see, this is why we do this. I went under my pool deck. And I had it standing up vertical, not laying down. There was the radiator I took out of a parts car about 10 years ago with the electric fan and bracket on it and all. And it looked pretty damn good.
Ready to rock.
So I dropped it off at Performance Radiator in Elmont. And they did I said, just want to flush and clean and repaint. And that's what I put back in the car.
Nice.
But of course, I got bit. My car's a 79. The parts car was an 80.
Mm-hmm.
The bracket for the radiator for the fan has three mounting holes.
Right.
Yeah. The two on one side are a different space on the two different radiators. So I had to take the bracket off the parts car one that was all rusty, get it in the bead blaster, paint it, and then reinstall that. But I got it done.
Yeah,
and now I noticed today driving the car in, like, I'm not really smelling coolant anymore. Maybe I don't need a head gasket.
Nice.
Right?
I love it.
I saved myself another repair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's try a repair. We'll go to the...
Push the button.
We'll go to the phones and the fun, and we'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, fellas. How you doing? How's everything? It's Cliff.
Cliff, what's happening?
Cliff, man.
How are you? First of all, Joe, I think Ray has a whole parts store underneath that deck.
I do.
More than likely.
I know there's a old school Riviera back window there. I think there's a Challenger convertible window or something back there, right? Some hot parts.
Correct on the Riviera. The Challenger glass is wrapped up in cardboard, and I have that like in the somewhere. I don't know.
The Smithsonian.
So I've been saving up a question all week. Normally I would have emailed Ray, but I figured I wanted both your opinions. So a good friend of mine has almost the same exact car as I have, a Mercedes, an older E320.
Yeah.
Brought his car into one of these quick change oil places.
Come on.
And so he said that they do the oil, they extract the oil with the tube that goes down the dipstick pipe.
Right.
And he questioned the guy about it. He said it's the first time he's ever had that done. Why, you know? And they go, oh, no, that's the way we always do these Mercedes. They're too delicate, the drain plugs. He gave like a whole song and dance. But anyways, I thought it odd, you know. But I wanted your opinion. You know, I've heard mixed reviews from people. I mean, I'm old school. I think you got to pull that drain plug and get everything out of there. But then I've heard from other people that really, if it's a correct pump, it works like a vacuum and gets just as much stuff out. I wanted to hear what your opinion was on that.
Is the car well maintained? Is the car well maintained?
I think he's a guy that uses Mobil 1 since the car was new, and I think it's like a 100,000 mile car that has had frequent oil changes, like every 6,000 with the synthetic, you know. But I don't know. What do you think?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I mean, if you pull the drain plug, all right, you know, gravity is your friend. Everything comes out, including any schmutz, schming, or schlop that comes out that comes out. You know what I mean? Now, on the other hand, if you could stick the, if you can do it by the tube method and extract the oil that way, you don't have that. You know, you don't have to worry about that being in there. I would probably want to go old school, okay, you got to remember, you're also dealing with a quick change oil establishment, which does not have people that are on vacation from NASA and the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. So maybe you don't want to be having those guys wielding wrenches.
You know what I think
on a sensitive car.
I have a thought with this. To do it old school, the car obviously has to be up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
To do it with the suction, you could do it in a parking lot. So maybe it's a matter of convenience of not having to have that car on a lift.
They have, I know, like these Valvoline places and the Jiffy Lube, they have it actually they have like pits. Yeah, these guys are down
old
in the
school,
pits.
Old school doing, grease like, pits. Yeah.
But even so, they could have the pits filled with cars that say, and they can still do this car outside in the parking lot.
Maybe. Yeah, that's
just
that's,
a thought. You know,
thinking like a businessman.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking they're obviously doing it for their convenience. I was just wondering what your opinion was as far as like, you know. Is it good to do with the vacuum? Like, I don't know. I would always be worried. There are some very efficient systems, so it's possible.
There are some dedicated systems that are good, Cliff. I would look. What about looking at the service end of it? See if there's TSBs on Mercedes drain plugs, like the Volkswagens,
which we had one.
We just popped it right into the pan one day at the shop. And there was an aftermarket company. Forget selling the oil pan bolt. They sold the whole oil pan and the bolt separate because this happens.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that is an issue.
I know a lot of these newer cars have these plastic pans, right? Stuff like that. You read about these, like, some of these Volkswagen...
They're made out of different composite materials from time to time, yeah.
Hmm.
It's the kind of thing that if you're going to go to a place like that, I would probably want to take the safest option and, you know, not kick the sleeping dog too hard.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? If I was going to a competent, full-service... trained shop with the right tools, I would probably prefer that. I don't know. Like sometimes the quick change option is good. It's like if your oil is like mud, or you don't have time, you know, whatever. It's like a NASCAR pit stop.
Or
but
if Mud's
I would
women,
have a, yeah.
Maybe if Mud's women drove the car, it could be kind of. Sorry, Star Trek laps.
I still like bringing it to a place that throws on the lift and, you know, gets a look at your car underneath anyway while it's up there draining.
Right, right.
You know?
Because here's the other thing to think about. If something went awry, like that thing busted, they busted the oil pan, all right, they would not be in a position, skill or parts or time-wise, to fix it. So they're just going to do it the easiest way for them.
Good point.
But liability for them, I guess.
Right,
yes.
Because I have seen and heard different horror stories from places like that. And, you know, they do have a place in the automotive world for certain cars or whatever, but...
Yeah.
I guess I'm kind of old school, too. I like seeing the oil come out of the bottle. But I know, you know, for plenty of friends that own shops that have good quality oil that they buy, you know, in a barrel, it's good quality stuff. I know it's the real deal.
Yeah, it's just easier
to store, you know, in the shop, you know what I mean? Rather than, you know, if it doesn't fill up the garbage can, you know,
it's
all that
stuff.
It's
cheaper by the 30-gallon drum, too. You know, instead of giving me back my bullets, it's let me dodge a bullet by avoiding the possible breakage of that oil pan. So, I'm with you, Cliff. I would do it your way, but, you know.
Old school.
I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing to do it the other way, especially if the car will get looked at again and maybe, you know, looked at by somebody competent. I don't know. But you know what? While we have you on the phone, why don't you tell us about this car show that's coming up that you would let us know about for your buddy?
Oh, I think it was that show was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
That was Nick from Unique Corvette. Not Unique Corvette. Unique Performance, along with ProFit Gym. They train athletes, the Special Olympic athletes for Long Island, you know, some of the special needs kids, and they do a really nice job. They raise money every year. So next year, I will definitely have him call in and hype up the show more. I think they got about about 100 cars yesterday. It was a nice day. It was a very nice event, and it raised money for a great cause.
Great. Very good. So
that was
excellent.
Nice. All right, guys. Happy summer.
Okay, Cliff.
Real quick, let me just throw this in. Just was popping through a couple of forums here, like technician forums. Those drain plugs are infamously hard to get out. They seize. All right.
And like then the VW.
You got to call in an airstrike to get the thing in. So
that's why they do it.
That's why they do it. So, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
good.
That
explains there is a technical reason. I'm glad we found that out.
I guess they have their own internal memos, too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Cliff.
All right, fellas.
Have a great day.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cliff.
Right. Take care, Cliff.
Great show as usual.
Thanks,
buddy. All right. We're going to take our first break here. And just like, Joe, like you found out, when you deal with a mechanic that you want to use, it's all about trust.
Yes.
That's what Skinhead said. So let's go and check that out now on 90.3 WHPC.
I'd like to tell This show is brought to you by the Paramount in Huntington, who presents the Marshall Tucker Band on Thursday, June 27th at 8 p.m. More information is available online at ParamountNY.com.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
I didn't know Joe could play a ragtime piano, folks, but you heard it. There it is.
That was with a real rag, too.
Yeah, and you're wearing your rag, too. We are back. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motor Mouth Radio, 516-572-7440. It's a matter of trust, and you can trust us with your car concerns.
That's it. Bring them on.
We'll
tell you straight.
We'll happily help you with your oil change stuff, like Cliff's issue, or any other things you have to deal with. So we'll.
Sometimes you might not be able to handle the truth, but we will tell you best as we know. And sometimes it's not always good news.
Absolutely.
You know, because that's a thing that sometimes, you know, going back to the parts stuff you're talking about, sometimes it's like, yeah, we got a bad batch of parts out there. Can I tell you if you're going to get a good one next time?
Yeah.
No, because it's not like I could go turn my, you know, spin around on my desk chair and go outside to the warehouse, you know, so.
Right.
You know, if you're up against it, do what you got to do.
Right.
You know, but at least I'll tell you straight. And if somebody at a company does that, you know, for my brother, customer service reps out there, or sister, if they tell you, if you find someone that's not good enough to tell you that straight, rather than giving you some pre-scripted thing that they got on their desk or their screen, mm-hmm. you know, what to tell customers, you know. But if you tell them the straight scoop, appreciate that person and do not give them a hard time.
I wish more people could see the emails that you send me in confidentiality when you reply to customers who rant about a thing. You do take it to that extra step, and you know, with your vast knowledge, and that's what makes you so good at what you do. You don't have to, and I see the people, you know, it's in the thread, someone else internal will say, hey, Joe, can you handle this? You know, we don't know what the hell's going on. What is this?
Yeah.
And then you come out of some other field with...
I put on the Proton pack, and I am Ghostbusters.
Exactly.
Yeah, what happens there is that, you know, just folks so you know that I'm not breaching confidentiality, Ray is my Jiminy Cricket. All right, because sometimes, if I haven't had enough coffee.
or too much coffee.
Yeah, that's true, too. And that can happen quite a bit.
Mm.
That I sometimes have the safety is off.
Yeah.
And I'm about to tell the customer something that may or may not go down so well. And Ray has yanked me back from the edge a number of times because he's standing on the outside, and I trust this man's counsel very, very highly.
I appreciate that.
Being a matter of trust.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do what we got to do to get the thing done. So.
And speaking of trust, we're going to go to the phones and see if we can get some trust going here. We're going to say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Gentlemen.
Hey, Bob, what's happening?
What's up, Bob?
I'm doing good, gentlemen. Hey, if you got to ask somebody back for your bolts back, it's too late.
Well, yeah, exactly, right? I know. That's why you got to carry a spare clip or a speed loader in your back pocket.
Done. There's no do-overs.
This is true. What are you up to on this fine day?
How's the automotive world, Bob? How's it treating you?
Actually, good.
Excellent.
Large car's running great. Took the snows off. Threw the Continentals on.
Just now?
No, like 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Well, it is snowing in some parts.
I'm off in April.
Yeah, I'm okay. I usually do it March 1.
Oh, I don't go by a hard date. I go by, like, what the weather's telling me. And, you know,
Yeah, look, but look at the clouds. I try to coincide with a oil change and
all right,
and or inspection. I try to
got it.
Try to make it one stop.
Okay.
Yeah, kills many.
The thing
birds
to consider is, are they dedicated snow tires?
Yeah, the same ones that you put on.
Okay, because the reason I say that is they are a softer compound, and they don't recommend using those when the temperatures are, well, under 43 degrees is when your regular street tires don't work the same as they do in, you know, warmer temperatures. And those snows really shouldn't be used in temperatures over, like, 60, 70 degrees, somewhere around there. Because they'll work, but they'll just wear out faster.
I was going to say, it's a wear thing, isn't it?
They're a softer compound. Mm-hmm. So...
Understood.
Great for whole shots.
Great brand. I'm really happy. I have that brand on the other two cars.
Yeah, I don't know if we're on the same. I had used what did I have originally? I had
Blizzard
Red, but now I'm using Firestone Winter Force.
It's a good tire. That's another story. Yes, I was on their site because I'm trying to get the 265V ribs for the 3/4 ton, and I called Bridgestone. I can't get them.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's funny how sometimes you like a tire. You know, you get used to it. And, you know, tires, if everything goes properly, you know, they last a few years. And then you go to get them again, you know, because they wear out. They've done their job, or maybe that pothole was just a little too big.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we don't make that tire no more. Right. And we make this one now. So.
Yeah, so I called Firestone because I called Tire Rack. And I'll figure it out. But I wanted the 265s, and I can't find the V rib. You know, I want a V rib 10 belt.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And but on a good note, I went down south. Been going down there a lot to help out the family, and I brought an electric chainsaw and 20 inch, and then a 16 inch gas powered.
Okay.
Chainsaws. Because I had to take care of a property line.
Yeah.
And I had left some of my... I left the package at home, but my last stop down there, I bought that Startron enzyme gas treatment.
Uh-huh.
Good stuff, so right?
So this is great. I threw... At the end of the day, I threw two chains on the gas. I went to electric. I threw that. And then I knew I had a still... And the Maryland house.
Right.
So it wouldn't start.
Okay.
So I pulled out the Startron. I can't believe I had it. It was great.
Yeah.
I primed, I put that stuff in, and I added some fresh fuel.
Uh-huh.
And the Startron, it blew out all my, all those, the lacquers, if you will.
Yeah.
In about 40 minutes.
Bob, I not only use it as an aftershave, but I keep a jar of it. I keep my combs in it, like in the barbershop, because it's that beautiful blue color. The stuff is freaking excellent, as you know. I'm glad you... I'll pass that on to our buddy Bill Lindsay at Startron, because he loves to hear about those stories.
Well, that's the second one. I use that Lucas for the power steering,
yeah.
And then I use the Startron. I have my other stuff. I have, the engineered fuel. I try not to use regular gasoline on the things that I need to turn over.
Okay.
And but you tell him that really worked out well.
Nice, yeah. No, the product works. And I also have a message for you. Our good friend Christian from Long Island Racing thanks you for making him the Motor Mouth Radio Person of the Year.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Just sent that message via telephonic communication. So that's everybody's happy here at Motor Mouth Radio. So that's cool.
Yeah, well deserved, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, guys. I want to thank you for your broadcast and have a great week.
Thanks,
thank you.
Bob. All right.
Thanks for giving us a hello.
Talk to you soon.
Right.
Bye-bye.
All righty, that was Bob. You know what? We're up to another break already. Geez, you know what? You got to listen to Rock Overdose. Great show on this station, Mondays through Thursdays at 2 p.m. That's the afternoon for you folks who sleep at night. You can never truly overdose on rock music, as we know, because we live that in.
Oh, hell no.
Right? And you can listen for classic rock from the 60s to the 90s and call in your requests, too. And the interesting thing is the fellow that does the show is not of our age. He's a lot younger.
Really?
And he does a very good job of the show because I've listened to it.
And, oh, good. We have a great job. We have somebody coming up doing this. Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not going to be the last ones.
So it's, you know, talking about rock, it's like double trouble when you get into that stuff with us here on Motor Mouth Radio. We're going to take another quick break, then hopefully talk with Christian because he's waiting. He's going to be in the queue. And we'll be back with a little bit more here on 90.3 WHPC. Double Trouble.
This hour of programming on 90.3 WHPC is being supported by Garden Social, Long Island's exclusive beer garden and kitchen, located in East Meadow at 1964 Hempstead Turnpike in the Best Market Shopping Center. Featuring over 2,800 square feet of outdoor patio with pergola, over 24 local and regional brews on tap, live music, over 20 TVs to enjoy the game, and appetizers including bacon-wrapped onion rings, a giant East Meadow pretzel, and more. More information is available by searching for Garden Social LI on Facebook or Instagram, or online at GardenSocialLI.com.
Hey, have you seen DJ Solero?
No, why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll look for him. Maybe he got something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone can figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may not have heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when The Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about The Rare Groove Session.
Hey guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead and tell everybody when to listen.
Okay, whatever. So if you're looking for some mind-blowing music, check out The Rare Groove Session. Now at a brand new time, late Friday nights or early Saturday mornings at 2 a.m., depending on how you look at it. Exclusively on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Yeah.
Yeah, Double Trouble, and I don't know about you, but that sounds like Molly Hatchet to me a little bit. Like Joe said, I think those boys were drinking from the same trough back then.
Mm.
So that's it. Motor Mouth Radio, we're going to go back to the phones, back to the fun. Say hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
I finally caught up.
Excellent. What's happening, Christian?
Christian.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
How you guys been?
Very good.
I'm very random call. I was just calling to say hello and just figured cool. People... I'm still always a fly on the wall listening, so...
Excellent.
Well, good. You know. As long as you don't get too near that bright blue light with the electric grid around it, you're okay.
Blue light with the electric grid?
The bug zapper!
Oh, I thought you were talking about my Geiger counter.
No, he did get a... Right, that Christian...
It's been my latest hobby.
And
it's
what are you...
Geiger counting? Hobby. Counting Geigers?
What are you Geigering for?
You wouldn't believe some of the stuff I've been finding out.
Okay.
Really?
It's incredible. Yeah. It's just the topic came up. I met a few friends that are chemists, and I've been studying elements lately. It's just been one of my rabbit holes.
Right.
And then the whole Chernobyl thing came up on HBO,
yes.
And that was just mind-blowing. So I was like...
Yes.
My grandfather was in civil defense.
Okay.
So my dad had told me, you know, I remember in the basement he had all this stuff, and one of the things he had is he had the meters.
No
but
kid.
We don't have them anymore, so I bought a couple original ones from some guys on eBay.
Right.
And it's amazing. These meters are like from the 60s, and they still work. I actually sent one out and had it recalibrated and everything, and there's a company in Texas that fixes them up and tunes them up and all this stuff. It's pretty cool stuff.
Nice.
So
you always wanted to know how many Geigers you got.
And what do you...
It sounds crazy, but it's just funny because like, some of the things came up about depression glass, having uranium and all this stuff or whatever.
Right. Oh.
Just more conversational, I guess, or whatever. And you never know.
Yeah.
The way things are going lately.
So what kind of weird things have you found?
Holman lantern mantles.
Yeah, right. That's weird.
It's in thorium.
Thorium, okay.
Vintage ones.
Wow.
Huh.
So I have one meter I bought, which is a low dose, and I have a high dose one, which if you see the needles on that, that's like Chernobyl stuff. But
right.
The low dose one has the probe on it, so it's actually got the alpha beta probe.
Mm.
And we were talking, like in conversation, we were talking about thorium because it's in welding rods.
Yeah.
Like the tungsten rods that we use, the lanthanated, and I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to learn about lanthanated and lanthanoids on the periodic and all these different metals and a lot of stuff that I work with. And it's just, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff that actually can be radioactive.
Wow.
Like bananas, like, and all that stuff.
Bananas?
You know, bananas.
Really?
You know. Yeah, because of the potassium. You know, the potassium, it's high in potassium. It's very low. It's just everything has background radiation. That's what I'm finding out.
Okay.
So even the sun, you know, stuff like that.
You would think about it. We better hope that's got some radiation.
Yeah, exactly.
Radiation and emanation are two different things. Well, what about, like, did you Geiger counter yourself?
Yes,
and what'd you find?
Well, I'm good. Background, you know, I'm good.
Wait a minute. I think that may be a subjective thing saying that. So I don't know. I just wonder, like, what are you basing that against? Like, what was your sample group? Like, what are you basing you being good against?
Well, first of all, most of the Geiger counters, they if you eat a banana, I don't know how much it would radiate through because it's only the protons. This is all chemistry stuff now,
yeah.
And I'm not a chemist by far, but I'm learning. You know, it only goes so far.
Right.
So the alpha beta radiation only, you know, might only go a couple inches from an object.
Okay.
You know, so I mean, so it's not like it's going to pierce through everything, and there's probably enough lead in my system.
Yeah. Well, and I was just watching, I was just watching Revenge of the Nerds yesterday, and the Alpha Deltas. They had another problem, you know, and then there was a Tri-Lambs, yeah. And, you know. But anyway, I digress.
It's just a crazy rabbit hole hobby. It's just something funny, but it's definitely conversational. But the Coleman lantern mantles got me the most. That's the one that blew my mind.
Wow.
Because I can't tell you how many times I handled Coleman lanterns as a kid going camping.
Uh-huh.
And you know, when you light a mantle, it you know, you burn it and then it it turns to ash, and then that, you know, the thorium that is dipped in makes it glow.
Right.
That's why it's like an element.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Right.
So I had a Coleman lantern in my basement, and when I got the new, I got the 700 series CDV Victorine meter that I got, which is, it's a civil defense meter. It's got the probe on it and everything. It's really cool. It works. It's probably 60 years old and still works.
Yeah.
I took that probe and I found that I had the mantle still in a package. I had some old ones,
yeah.
And holy cow, man, that thing went off the scale.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm. Wow.
It's insane. I never knew. It just blew my mind, yeah. It, within a couple inches, you get up to it, and I mean, I'll do a video on Instagram.
I have a package of those mantles at home myself, because I have a Coleman lantern I want to revive, but I never really was, you know, proficient in it, so I want to learn a little more before I tackle that project.
But how many times did you fail at getting a mantle to work? How many have you burnt up and they turn to ash, and you take the glass off and you blow it?
Right.
And then you put the new mantle on?
Yeah.
Thorium.
Right.
It's been dipped in thorium.
And you blow it across the campsite so everybody else is breathing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Into their burgers while they're cooking on the on the shopping cart grills that we used to cook on.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
So
that's
just my little rabbit hole lately. That's all. I figured I'd share that. But
got it.
You get a kick out of it. But the main thing that was coming up was the fact that it has to do with engines and cars and motorcycles is the fact that there's a lot of rare earth in magnetism. And we've been trying to figure out how, you know, with electronics and stuff for the bikes, you know, a lot of electrical stuff with the newer bikes, all rare earth.
Okay.
And I don't know what elements they're using.
Magnets are, you know, the rare earth magnets. That's the deal.
Yeah. And they're strong. They last. Yes. But they're not radioactive.
Right.
You know, because, you know, obviously it's like by the time motorcycles get to a point, they're going to be like anti-gravity, these things.
Yeah.
You know. It's just the motors are getting to technology. I just recently finished up the BMW that I worked on. It's so expensive building a BMW motor. It's ridiculous. It's hard.
Which family of motors was that you built?
The 1,000, 1 liter, the superbike.
Okay, so it was a boxer? Was it a boxer twin?
No. This is the S1000RR. It's a race bike.
Oh, okay, got it.
You know, just, you know, plus 200 horse.
Yeah.
190 mile an hour bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the magnetism on the magnet and the light, we lighten the crank, but the weight of the rotor that goes on the end of the crank is so light. It's just the whole rotational mass of it.
Yeah.
I built the whole motor, micro polished everything, camshafts, the training, you know, it's the technology. It was like, we can only go so far past the electronics right now.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, battery operated stuff's coming into play now. So you can see a lot of more electric motorcycles coming in.
Right.
And, you know, I can't wait, you know, to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. Very cool. I think what would happen, I think Christian's phone dropped out.
Yes, I did. I heard the thud. Yes.
Yeah, I heard that boom.
Baby.
Yep. Yeah, that's some
definitely
cool
not
stuff.
A good noise.
No, that is some cool stuff. And Christian does get into some of the wildest stuff on the planet.
Science.
Oh, Weird Science came on after Revenge of the Nerds. Funny you should say that, Joe.
Yes. Yes, one of my favorite movies.
Yes, me too.
When that was in the theater, I got elbowed so many times by my then girlfriend.
Oh yeah. So you know, we play a game around here. This was one of them we used to play.
What does Joe know?
Nothing.
We haven't played that in a while, but we don't have a sounder for it. But now the new one is What's in Joe's Pocket.
Yeah.
And
wait a minute.
I think we should get a proper send off from Christian first. Yes, Christian, you're back.
Yeah. You know, it was the mantles kicked my phone out.
That's what we figured. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know where I left off. I went off on a tangent there. Sorry.
Right. Well, it's okay. No, we were talking about the motor, the BMW motor and all of that. And, you know.
It's expensive. You know, a rod bearing, I'll just go like, you know, if I had to do a rod bearing in a Suzuki, it's $8 a half.
Yeah.
So what's that, $16 for, you know, two shells?
Yeah, yeah.
BMW a half,
uh-huh.
$34.
Mies.
Yeah. Well, I know in the K bike that I own, that's a 4-cylinder opposed. They use what's called Nicosel liners in those things, so the motors can go just like the metallurgy they used even back in the 90s was advanced, so far advanced from what other manufacturers were doing.
Well, I could go off on a whole other topic about Nicosil and electrofused. Electrofusion, or Honda used that, which is basically explode a nichrome wire inside the cylinder, and that fuses to the cylinder walls, and then they just quickly hone it with a high silicone. There's a couple different techniques. BMW, for sure, uses the silicone, like, extrusion into the cylinder walls. It's like there's no thickness of it, but Nicosil is thicker. It actually has a mill thickness to it.
Right.
And it lasts a very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I know for sure because I've reused engine blocks in some of our race motors. I have one motor that went 11 refreshes. 11.
Wow.
Jeez. I re-ringed that motor.
So basically that one went to 11.
And that was one of our fastest motors.
Wow. That's great.
And that's just because the metallurgy of that engine was so good because it was so loose and so worn in and broken in that everything was just happy in there.
Right.
You know, that made the most horsepower.
Sure.
But the expense of working on the BMW stuff is even the manual. See, the thing is, I needed a book for the bike. I needed some specs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I'm dealing with, and getting the stuff is a pain in the butt, too, but I managed to get an account with a BMW dealer now. Florida, because one of my old bosses works on there now, hooked me up. I go to order a manual. It's $120, and it comes on a DVD.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Then you put the DVD in your laptop. You have to put in the VIN number of the bike. You get an access code. Then it lets you get into the manual.
And this is offline. This is on the DVD. It's not like you're accessing it online.
I'm a book guy.
Yeah
I hear you. No, but like, in other words, the whole VIN number stuff sounds like an online access thing, but oh my God. Yeah, they don't want you touching this. Jeez.
No, they don't. The thing is that actually BMW, you know, these guys, you on the parts, OEM parts thing, if you look up, they want you to buy a short block.
Right.
You know, so they're like, well, I'm not doing that, guys. You know? I'm
Seriously.
Putting pistons in this. I'm putting rods in it. We're doing high performance here.
Right.
So, yes, we're going into your motor. Too bad.
Our motor's a high performance from the factory.
Yeah.
We took a pound out of the crankshaft.
Wow, a pound? Oh,
okay.
Geez.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I just cut a crank yesterday. I took 2 pounds out of a Yamaha crank.
Wow.
All right? No mercy.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely.
So it would seem.
Hey, listen, I've done about 20 of them this season. They're working. Okay?
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Well, proof is in the racing, yeah.
I got Yamaha's running in the top five in sprint car racing with my cranks in there.
Nice.
Yeah, these guys, you know, and it picks up the torque. That's what it is.
you know, you need that torque in the sprint cars. That thing has to get around the corner, out of it, you know, into the next corner. So it, the lightning cranks are working for those guys.
Uh-huh.
You know, the motorcycle is a little rough because it's a handful. You know, you take weight out of that crank. I tell you what, you grab a handful of that throttle, 200 horsepower comes on real quick.
Oh.
So.
Yes.
Anyway.
Oh, I got you. I got you. That's cool stuff.
Well, now you guys get me really fired up.
I know.
Well, hey.
Well, we now some curling.
We're here for that.
I just called to say hello.
I know.
See?
Well, from everything from reactors to radiation to lightning cranks, what was next?
I know. It's been
aliens?
A while. So. Well, we could go there. Well, I know you listened to some pretty wild podcasts, so yeah. We don't
yeah. That was actually really good.
I know.
And Bob Lazar, that's interesting that he put a jet engine in a Honda.
Of course, yeah. Well, why not? It's like a Jato on a Camaro, right? Why not?
Exactly. Why not?
Cool stuff.
You know what? I'm going to go on eBay. Maybe I'll pick up a J3 motor.
Yeah.
Oh,
and go buy an old Corolla. Yeah, there you go. All right, Christian, we are going to take our last break, so we got to get out of here.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, all right. We're on tangent. Always good, always listening, always a fly on the wall.
All right, man, talk to you soon.
Take care.
Later.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye. All right, and with that, we are going to take our last break because we're searching. We're searching for a respite here, I think. We'll talk about aliens amongst us and whatever Cliff is up to.
Oh, boy.
So with that... let's do some search on 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Music history. Go ahead, ask me anything.
What was the number one song this week in 1967?
I don't know. That was like 50 years ago. I guess it was a Beatles song?
Wrong. Roll again.
Okay, music history again. Go.
What was the number one song this week in 1981?
How the heck am I supposed to know this stuff?
You obviously aren't listening to my show, The Classic Countdown. It's where we count down the biggest hits of the week, but not from this year. We go back in time to the 60s, 70s, and 80s, giving you the biggest hits of the week.
I know I can beat this game. Let me try one more time. I don't believe it. Music history again.
My favorite subject. What was the number one song this week in 1977?
All right, I'll listen. When is it on?
Listen to The Classic Countdown with me, Zach Turkel, Wednesday evenings at 6 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, and on the iHeartRadio app. I gotta go get ready for my show. Later.
I guess I win by default. Winning!
Well, we are searching on Motormouth Radio.
We're always searching.
Only program. We're getting some backup from our good boys and our good friends in the Skinhead Band.
Yeah.
Give us a call. You got some time, 516-572-7440. We're trying to figure out what the heck Cliff is working on. We don't know what the hell he's doing. It looks like...
Yeah, it looks like... I'm not...
Cliff, the white thing looks like a fuse puller. That's on the end of that...
what kind of car is that?
What kind of car is that you're dealing with? Because we don't know what the heck is... I don't know. We're at a loss here, but if we know what it is, what kind of car it is, maybe we can backwards engineer it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I'm always good for trying to backtrack stuff, otherwise forget about it, you know?
Yeah, we're trying to figure out if something broke or if something is in addition to that shouldn't be. I don't know. I don't know. So whatever. Yeah, if you if Cliff, you can let us know. We'll try and figure it out. And
yeah, you know, if you could try to do this on the fly here, but as we normally do, you know. You know, talking about on the fly, real quick.
Oh, 99E320.
Oh, okay. Don't see what's going on with that, possibly.
Let's try this.
Well, let's see the flashy
thing.
We'll
go back
first.
To the phones and say, hi, you're on the Motor Mouths.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Vic.
Vic.
I figured I'd check in since Christian called in, so sure. You know, I haven't spoken to you in a while.
The yeah. Gang's all kind of sort of here.
What's happening?
Nah, nothing much. Just working on the gas for a little bit.
Okay.
Rearranging the front end a little. Changing it up.
Right.
So
right.
I looked
cool.
at it for about a year, and I said, we'll change it. So, and I got a, I bent some, had some tubes bent for the roll cage.
Okay.
Tacked that in place and see if I like that. So, except for that. Oh, and the big thing is my cancer came back after 8 years.
Did it?
Yeah. And it's in the lymph nodes. We thought it was in one place, and then it grew, and it's in a bunch of places, but it's all right. So, because they got me on this, Tuesday I started on these two experimental drugs. So I got to do IVs basically once a month for 2 years.
Okay.
So, okay.
Staying yeah, but they're optimistic. They didn't make me pay up front, so they're optimistic, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, you know what? I was going to say, that's a good note, because that means they think you're going to be around to take care of the bill, so that's good.
Yeah, and whether you like Trump or not, because he allowed some drugs to be put on the market, I can stay alive.
Right.
So one of these is one of those drugs. So it's not too bad. You sit there, half hour for one bag, then they saline for half hour, then another bag, then they watch it for an hour, half hour. So it's a couple hours.
Okay.
It's all right, though. It beats being cut open and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you go to an outpatient center, right?
Yeah. Well, no. I go over to LIJ in Lakefield. The old Sperry Rand.
Yeah.
It's their cancer center now. So it's all right. Just sit there, yeah.
Okay.
Just wake up, and if your arms don't hit the sides of the box, it's another good day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank God for that, right?
Yeah. So, working on the gas, just enjoying it.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to go up and see Toy Story with the grandkids. So.
Oh, good. Good.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Except for that, everything. Nice day.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Well,
yeah.
Do some welding. Do some fabricating. Yeah, like everybody else does on Sundays, right?
Yeah, so. I got to go out to Hal Holbrookville after work for a party. So,
as long as you're not paying for the party, it's a good one.
That's right. I just got to go. I got to show up, eat and drink.
Yeah,
always like
that's
when
right.
that happens, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, cool. All right, I got to turn on a drill press now and drill some holes, and I'll talk to you guys later on.
Excellent.
Okay? All right, man.
Okay, Vic.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Yeah, we hope for that Vic stays on top of that. That's
That's always not the kind of news you want to hear. But then again, a positive outlook is definitely where you want to be with that, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you this, positively, next week we're going to have an interesting show because we're going to have our good buddies, Elliot Wiener and Dennis Benfante from
the T-Bird Boys.
T-Bird Clubs in
yes.
to talk about their upcoming show. So it'll be Ford Week next week.
Yes.
Us GM guys are going to have to take a back seat to the Ford guys. So, you know, what can you do? But
yeah, that's all right. You know, it's like one of those things where we're an equal opportunity car show.
We are.
Yes, we listen to the Ford guys, the Mopar guys, the GM guys.
Mopar Mouth Radio.
Yes, that has definitely stuck with us.
And
you know?
I tell you, I'm having a problem because with all the F-bodies I've been around lately, the 79Z and now the 79TA that I was around yesterday. It's like F-body fever, Joe,
I passed a split bumper on my way here.
You know, I
was like, no!
I'm like, it's really getting back into me. I'm like, stop it. Please just stop it. Oh, God. You know how it goes.
Yeah, but, I hear that.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? Like, Lon de Vega may just show up with a big check, and
Actually, if a V8 Vega showed up, I'd be okay because that would divert me for a little while.
Yeah, right.
I did. I was telling you before the show, I hadn't made this. We hadn't made it a show topic, but I've been. Well, I did talk about it for a while. How in my Pontiac with the new, you know, with the 5-speed, I was lower RPM at cruise, and I had lower vacuum, which was bothering me. And I did
It bugged me too that time we went for the ride there.
Right, yeah. You and I would, and I did know. Yeah, so I what I did is I had one of those moments of clarity as I was sleeping.
Yes, Dougie, I watch vacuum gauges on everybody's car.
That's right, and I keep mine prominent, so everybody, I share it with everybody. I thought about doing a carburetor mod, changing the springs, the transition springs under the pistons, and it looked like it worked. I didn't have the car on the highway, but now I noticed that I have a higher vacuum. You had talked about 2,500 RPM. What's the vacuum?
Yeah, right.
So
exactly.
Now 2,500 RPM, under load, I was 16 pounds of vacuum, which is good.
That's definitely improvement because you were not.
I was 12.
Yeah, you were like, you know, I was going to say 13, but okay, yeah.
So I still have a couple little things to do. I think I have a little curb idle misfire I want to correct. I think it's an ignition wire thing. The point of this is it's like I tell people all the time, and this is why people get rid of cars and get disgusted with them. They can't find a nagging little problem, or the problem moves, and it's like, I just want this thing fixed. And I say, you know what? In that world, you have to sometimes just doggedly pursue it and do little things at a time and just stick with it.
Stay with it.
You can't, you know, if you
can't figure it out yourself, talk to someone.
Or call us and we'll take it off your hands.
And we won't make fun of you. You know, listen, stuff like that, a lot of times what you do, diagnosing stuff or figuring stuff out like that, a lot of times you have to pull in information from a number of sources. I do that all the time.
Right.
You know, as far as that goes, because not everybody knows everything.
Right.
And there's always the experience factor as well.
And that's why my first line of defense is you, because now you have the knowledge base, and you know, you got to go with someone you trust. And of course, I trust your history.
Yeah, well, that's like when you keep me off the edge there. When, you know.
Plus, the thing is, you know, you know, I could call Vic for certain things, and he would tell me, you know, burn it. Drill a hole in it, weld it, you know, and I could call you and we could sit there and engineer it out. I can call Christian, he'll give me the chemical composition, break out a Geiger counter. So you kind of know who you want to go to for certain diagnoses.
Yeah, at least on what level, you know what I mean? Because if you're playing on the elemental component, the level there, you know, you need somebody like Christian.
Right.
And sometimes you just got to hit it harder and take out the torch.
But yeah, that's true. But and I definitely believe in a diagnostic approach. Think it out. Mm-hmm. You know, what did you do last? What's, you know, look at stuff. Sometimes you got to step back from it and look at it again with a new light and think of it. Because we tend to.
Well, we were just talking about that. Like, you know, you had the thing with the springs that occurred to you all of a sudden.
Right.
You were nowhere near a car or near the car or whatever. Nope. And just like kind of popped into your head.
Yeah.
My wife will tell you that I'd be walking through the house and I will say, holy crap, it's the blah, blah, blah module.
The green wire you had in your pocket. There. You know, can we talk about that quick? You just pulled out the equivalent of like an electronics store wire rack out of your pocket. Four different colors of wiring.
Right.
It'll look like maybe 16 gauge.
Yeah. Some of this is 18.
We have orange, two reds, a green.
Right.
Some silver, shiny metal thing.
This is the leftovers from the melted down Maxima.
There were two plasticky things there before.
Yeah, there's it's coming under the pocket.
That orange looked like an OEM because it's got a little fitting on it.
I kind of had that. Well, I keep spare wires. I cut like turn signal switches and stuff, and I keep spare snippets of wires there.
I have a drawer at the shop that says wire scraps, and I have and sometimes it has OEM ends on it.
Right.
And that's really why I'm saving it.
Yeah, because sometimes you know, rather than running the whole wire, if you got to rub through or something, you want to just piece it a little section.
Right.
You know what I mean? Rather than going through the whole thing. Basically, what this was about was you can see this on the Facebook and the Instagram. What had happened was is that the wire from the fuse box on this Maxima to the brake switch melted.
Right, that's
and when the it melted, it also melted up against the wire that comes out of the switch to the various lamps. So that was the red was the power in, the green was the power out.
Okay,
and the orange I had just in case because that actually went to the high mounted stoplight, but which I had a funny feeling, which turned out to be thankfully not the case.
Right,
and these little white things here,
Well, let me just finish up with the other thing real quick. What happens is that using the proper gauge wire is important, because when you have a big mismatch, it just sucks to connect it. Also, the right gauge, the right color wire, people make fun of me this, but the next poor slob who has to go track this down and says, oh, it's a red. Oh, no, it's black. Oh, no, it's green. Oh, no, it's the right color all the way through. And also, the proper material to live.
If I can
don't get me started.
Now, if I can jump in to end this, because we got to get out of here. Kim's coming in. Yeah. The wrong gauge wire, a smaller gauge wire, now becomes a fusible link.
Yes.
So, with that, we're going to get out of here. Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We'll be back next week with the T-Bird guys.
Yes, the Ford boys. Tony.
Stay tuned for Kim and Thunder Road on
WHPC.
90.3.